Star Wars Action News is brought to you in part by Brian's Toys. At Brian'sToys.com, you can find Star Wars toys and collectibles from 1977 to the present. Brian's Toys has it all, from vintage toys and action figures right up to the latest releases. And when checking out, be sure to say you were referred to Brian's Toys by Star Wars Action News. So go check out the world's largest selection of Star Wars toys at Brian'sToys.com. Listening to Star Wars Action News, your source for Star Wars collecting news, reviews, and updates, helping Star Wars collectors collect better. Be sure to check out our website at swactionnews.com, where you can see photos of the items discussed, chat with other Star Wars Action News listeners, and much more, including information on how you can be part of the show.
Welcome to Star Wars Action News exclusive Toy Fair coverage from New York.
I'm Arnie.
I'm Marjorie.
And we have some big news for you that you've already heard.
Or seen.
Because it seems like Hasbro security is equivalent to the US government during the heyday of WikiLeaks. There was not a whole lot of surprises, but what there were a lot of answers and some first-hand looks at some 2013 product coming from Hasbro. We'll kind of walk you through this as we experienced it, starting with their brand presentation. And, of course, the big news from the brand presentation is that Twilight Sparkle is becoming a princess.
Oh my god, I can't believe it. I'm so excited. She totally deserves to be a princess. Yeah, I have no idea who she is. I don't get the pony thing.
I don't either, and to me, if they have to go into a career because a tattoo says so, I think that's like branded slavery.
They're cutie mark.
They're cutie mark. The Nazis had cutie marks they made the Jews wear. Office Space reference, please don't send hate mail. But no, for Star Wars news, the big news is, of course, the Black Series. 6-inch figures. We got a hands-on look at the first 4 of these. They are the X-Wing Luke you've already seen, Darth Maul, R2-D2, and a Sand Trooper. These are highly detailed, highly articulated, really well-painted figures. They lived up to my expectations.
Yeah, seeing it in person, I think, really made a difference. If you're on the fence, I think when you see it on the shelf, you're going to want it. I really like the packaging too, but I think what Hasbro has learned is that we like the black packaging. I don't care what's on it, vintage style, whatever, we like the black look.
Maybe, but they did show in their presentation, these images were not released, some alternate designs that they had tried out. I don't think they've learned it very well because they were trying maybe the blue look, maybe a black and blue look. They had a lot of ideas going on there. I will say this, for all the press images, and as astounding as I thought that X-Wing Luke looked in the press image, seeing them in person, seeing them on a table instead of seeing them in a diorama with a photographed, photoshopped backdrop, I was less impressed, but still impressed. I would definitely say these are very much online with the Marvel Legends figures, but I wouldn't say that they're a step above, which I was kind of hoping since their price is a step above. I read one comment on our Facebook page blaming Gentle Giant, who's doing the sculpting for these. Hasbro's doing the paint apps and working on the articulation, but Gentle Giant is doing the basic sculpts, kind of blaming that partnership there. I can say that's not the case. Gentle Giant's been working on the Marvel line for several years, so it's just now that we're getting that expertise and that detail brought over to the Star Wars line. So why is the Star Wars line more expensive? It could be because they're putting, appears, even more detail on the figures. Could be the Star Wars license just costs more.
It could very well be, and we already know from prior companies that it is expensive.
There's only one misstep in the entire 6-inch line that I can see, and this is with the Darth Maul figure, leave it to the prequels, but what they've done is in an attempt to give us everything, they're giving us 2 Darth Mauls. There's the one of him in the stripped down, ready for a fight action scene, but then there's him with the big cloak on. Obviously, the figure had different facial expressions for the two. The way they've achieved this is by molding a mask into the cloak that will go over his face to have the somber, soon we will reveal ourselves to the Jedi, soon we will have revenge face expression.
The non-battle face.
Yeah. And I'm not sure how that's going to look on the figure. Is it going to look like Darth Maul is dressed up as Darth Maul for Halloween? That is perhaps a misstep where a head swap would have been better.
I can't think of any other figure that has done that. I mean, when you say it out loud, it sounds asinine. I'm not going to lie. It just sounds ridiculous.
It didn't look any better than it sounds with the cloak that was sitting out on the table. It just looked silly. At first, I thought they had two figures out, two Darth Mauls, one in each outfit. Then I realized the second thing I was looking at was a cloak with no body. It was like the spirit of Darth Maul, the ghost of Sith Miss Past.
My concern is that the cloak kind of just looks odd. You're right, without the figure, even with the figure in it, I'm sure it's going to be odd.
It's very bulky for use of soft goods, but I like him in his action-y pose. I think he looks damn good in action pose. I think that's the way to go with him. I don't think that we necessarily even needed the cloak.
Do you know what the cloak looks like? It looks like when in a cartoon, when all the characters get on each other's shoulders and then put clothes on. That's what it looks like. Do you know what I'm talking about?
It does without a figure in it. Yeah, it's very Scooby-Doo.
Thank you. That's it. Scooby-Doo.
But while that may be one misstep, man, the other three have such detail. I think the standout figure, the best of the wave, is going to go to R2-D2.
He is pretty cool.
Being a smaller figure, they were able to load him up with accessories. And unlike the 3¾-inch counterpart, these are accessories that have some size to them, have some weight to them. You get the Return of the Jedi Luke Skywalker lightsaber. You get the sensor that pops up when he's under the swamp in Dagobah. You get some pop-out arms. He's got the rocket boosters from the prequels. They're really giving us a display however you want R2-D2 here.
And it's very cool. I still say that they need a 3PO to go with him, and it's a mistake not recently as a couple, but he is cute, and he's awesome.
He's got X-Wing Luke. I can definitely go with that. Now, I did read on Facebook also, somebody was complaining that the blaster included with Luke was not seen until Empire Strikes Back. My only thought on that is, in A New Hope, when in the X-Wing outfit, he never had a blaster that I can recall. We saw him talk to Biggs in the hangar. We saw him fly the ship. At no point did he pull a gun. At no point did he pull a lightsaber either. And as we know from buying Master Replicas props, there were very subtle differences in the sabers between the movies. I'm happy to get a gun. And given that this appears to be the standard issue gun given to rebels who fly X-Wings because he had it on him when he flew to Dagobah, then who's to say it wasn't with him? I'd rather have the gun than have no gun. As for the sand trooper, I'm not one to get all excited about troopers. I like them, but I'm not in the 501st. I'm not obsessed with stormtroopers the way some fans are. Han and Carbonite's more my thing, but the paint on this one is fantastic.
Yeah, he doesn't look fake dirty. He looks real dirty.
Exactly. He is coming with the orange pauldron, couple big guns, backpack, just a really nice stormtrooper. I do suspect variants in his future, but one thing that they did say after the presentation was they're trying to make these figures well worth the money. If they make a Biggs, they're not just going to put a new head on X-Wing Luke. They're going to give Biggs his own body, his own look. For sand troopers of different type, maybe the armor will be the same, but maybe they'll swap out some different accessories or give us some other bang for the buck in that regard.
It'd be nice if they varied up the dirt a little bit.
Oh, I'm sure they'd do that. They'd change that paint app. All in all, I have noticed a shifting of the winds, whereas a lot of people didn't seem interested. Once these pictures hit, especially of the Sand Trooper and the R2, I think that more and more people have gone from, I'm not buying them, to, well, I might buy some. The ugly thing about this that I found out after the fact is the case assortment. These are coming 6 figures to a case instead of 8, which means it's not going to be a nice even breakdown of 2-2-2-2.
So who's going to be the short pack?
They said that they're going to start by trying to release the more in-demand figures as the extras, but they're also going to rotate the case assortment so that everyone has an equal chance of getting equal figures. That's if you're buying in stores. If you're looking to buy online by the case, that doesn't help so much.
No, it doesn't.
Also, with the 6-inch line, the rumor going into Toy Fair was that this year's San Diego Comic-Con exclusive would be a 6-inch Boba Fett with a Han Solo and Carbonite. They certainly didn't do anything to disprove that at the presentation. In fact, they fanned the flames by saying they had one last thing to tell us, showing us a Mandalorian skull and then showing us Han and Carbonite kind of in a fading outline.
Yeah, and then the title card said, "See you in San Diego."
Yeah. Now, after the fact, they're like, well, there's a lot of Mandalorians, but they're not making any EU Mandalorians. It's Boba or Jango, and I'm pretty sure Jango didn't have anything to do with Han and Carbonite.
No, not in the least bit.
The thing that makes me happiest? A San Diego Comic-Con exclusive that could fit in a carry-on and not require its own specially made box to ship home.
Yeah, the last 2 years have required special boxes.
Now, the Black Series in 3¾-inch, these are vintage-style figures just on the black line. We're going to be getting a Biker Scout, a Clone Pilot, Ceremony Luke, based off of new photography given to them by Lucasfilm, an Episode 2 Midrange Baird Padme.
And I believe she has the scars, too, from the attack from the Nexu.
Yes. A super articulated Biggs, because that's what we've needed, is Biggs who can do yoga.
I have really wanted a super articulated Biggs for a very long time.
For those wondering, this is Biggs in his X-Wing outfit, in case you had any doubt. Episode 2, Anakin to go with the Padme. Then in Wave 2, we will be finally getting that fan's choice Mara Jade figure, not on a vintage card, but on the black card. Stormtrooper, Pablo Jill, and Luminara Unduli.
Do you like the new black card?
You know, the packaging is okay. They had one carded sample out there, and it was of Darth Vader, and you put a black figure on a black card. The thing that kept throwing me is, first of all, the orange stripe down the right. I love that it looks like the Death Star 2, like when Vader and Luke were stepping out of the elevator into the Emperor's chamber, but the color of orange it is almost looks like a racing stripe down a car for drag racing.
Yeah, it kind of does.
I really like the medallion that they're doing in the upper corner. That's what they called it, the medallion that will be character specific. I think that's going to be good. I like the big bubble, but the Darth Vader specifically had this big, it looked like a fungus flower inside of it. It turns out it's a blaster bolt being deflected from his lightsaber.
Okay, I thought that there's something wrong with that package.
Yeah, I wasn't quite sure what to make of it. So against a stark black background is not the best way to view the character they put there. Honestly, I like the packaging for on the shelf, but I don't think it's great for a mint on card display, as it makes it harder to see some aspects of darker characters. It's hard to see Vader against a black card.
It's very hard, yeah.
And you think about how much black there is, Jedi Lukes, TIE Fighter pilots, and the accessories just don't pop on this giant bubble. I think they need to be a little bit more dynamic with posing. They've got a huge bubble here. They can use it the way they did back with the Saga series with Episode 2. Get some real dynamic poses going. These are figures with a lot of articulation. They can do better than what they did with that Vader and that card with the real estate they have. And maybe this is just a mock-up. We're not going to be seeing these figures for many months. But as much as I love the 6-inch blackline packaging, this Vader card left me a little bit cold.
I'm not too in love with it, but I do like having that little medallion at the top on the package. It will make it very easy to rifle through store pegs.
Yeah, and they're numbered, and the numbers are very well marked on the front of the card this time versus having to look down the sides of the cards. It's a nice big card. It's a good continuation of the vintage figures. Now, what about the other line of figures? And I mean other as in one. We did receive word Clone Wars is no longer a line.
I find that suspicious.
The Clone Wars animated style figures are done with.
But the show is a hit among children, and don't children buy those?
Well, at this point, the plan is they will still make Clone Wars characters, but they're going to make them in the Saga Legends line. And they're going to be those reduced articulation, which is more aimed at children, also a reduced price point. They're back down to $6.
Well, you get about 1 point of articulation for, what, 120? Because there's 5 points of articulation. Maybe a little bit more.
Also, keep in mind, it's not like they're not making Episode 2 and Episode 3 figures, which do cross cross over for the clones. And that seemed to be what a lot of the Clone Wars line had become as clones if you take away the animated style. But for right now, at the very least, they're not going to be doing any more animated style figures. Instead, they're focusing on this as their kids line. And there's two ways they're delivering the style of figure. There's the basic figure, then there's the mission series where you get two figures in a single pack. And some of these look pretty cool. There's Darth Vader with a seeker droid.
How that seeker droid folded up in the package I found very odd, because he folds flat.
Smart packaging.
It is, but it just looks funny.
Then you get Rex with a battle droid, Jango with a battle droid, R2 and 3PO, there's your pairing.
See, they go together like peas and carrots.
Anakin with a 501st, and then another clone with a battle droid. I'm blanking on Gree's troop's assignment number, the Utapau trooper. Now, I'm not a big fan of this little articulation. I'm not an articulation snob where I must have a ton of articulation. I like the happy medium. If a figure doesn't come with ankle articulation, I don't revolt. But if a figure comes and has no good way to pose it, I do have a problem.
The problem with these is there's no soft goods due to the low price point. So you have their tunics and cloaks molded to their legs like the vintage style figures.
That is a little amusing.
It is. And there, I've noticed that some of the bodies are different too. I think the battle droids have extraordinarily spindly legs. Did you notice that?
Yeah, but that's accurate, actually.
I know, but usually in the action figure line, they're a little chunkier than that. And then I think the Jango Fett has a very odd-shaped body.
Well, going back to what you said about the split cloaks, I hadn't noticed that on these. But it makes a whole lot of sense, because after the presentation, I was talking to Daryl. And what they really want to harken back to for collectors on this is the Kenner days. They want it to be as if Kenner was still making figures like they were back then. And that would include these split plastic tunics the same way we had back then, or just the mono pegs. But this is like the Emperor in his pantsuit in the vintage days. The other thing they're doing to harken back, and Daryl touched every figure there, hoping he could give us a demo, but all they had there were hard copies. They didn't have any actual production figures. These figures are being manufactured like the old Kenner figures, with a hard plastic body and then PVC arms and legs, and they are using the same PVC that Kenner used from 78 to 85.
That's really interesting, because the way they're marketing it at the beginning was, it's a great price point for kids at $5.99.
That is what they said, but they also don't want to rule out collectors. The other thing they're doing, last year at Toy Fair, they showed us those battle packs, and they said this is the best Boba Fett they've ever done. And we said it, and I know Jedi Temple and some other sites said it, yeah, it may be the best looking one, but it has no articulation. That was before we found out that that was the way the line was going. Here, what they really are going for is to give detailed paint apps and good sculpts just less articulation. And what Daryl said is it comes down to money. You have to pay someone for every piece that a figure has to put it together. And that's the biggest cost. It's not necessarily manufacturing, it's assembly. And so they can give detailed sculpts, but if there's only six pieces to the thing, it saves a lot of money, and you can see how much. These figures are half the price of a vintage figure. So it cuts the price in half. So that means they're saving more than half on the labor, because you still got the same plastic cost to deliver this. Is this going to be for every collector? No. But what Daryl also said was they found out that it's not like in 2007, 2008, where they could make one line that appeases all markets. The line is played with by children, loved by collectors. They're just not able to do that anymore. They have to make different lines for different targets.
And, you know, kids' demographics do change as far as what they like, what they don't like. Each generation is going to be different, and we're almost crossing a generation.
What I actually do like is the Saga Legends cards with the Vader. It's a little bit of a silly Vader reaching out. It would make a lot more sense if there was a 3D movie to support it when he was reaching off the screen. But I like the lava look of it. I like how the figure looks like they're standing in front of a lava water flow, and how it really makes the figure pop. Unlike the black line here, I'm looking at a couple carded samples of Anakin and a clone trooper, and those figures are very visible against that bright orange background.
They are, and I like how they incorporate that into the art, but I don't like this one.
I don't like the Vader on it.
No, it's a bad Vader. It looks like the Vader you'd get on a Valentine's present or something.
Yeah,
it's standard clip art.
Yeah, but I just like the way the figure looks on the card, is I guess what I should say. And I also like the photograph at the bottom. That's still a nice reference tool.
That is nice at the bottom. I do like that. But I don't like that orange Star Wars for some reason. I don't know if it's just shell shock from the episode 3 line.
That well could be, because that is an orange Star Wars we looked at a long, long time.
Yes.
Now, one other rumor coming into this toy fair was that because the Clone Wars line looked like it was going away, the Class 2 vehicles would be going away because they primarily supported the Clone Wars line. Well, that's not the case. This fall, an Episode 3 Jedi Starfighter is going to be added to the rotation. I don't think collectors have a lot of interest or investment in this line because these are small, small ships.
And they are, and I just think most of us just pass them by unless you're a completist.
Yeah. But for larger vehicles, exclusives are the place to be. The most exciting thing outside of the Black Series, clearly the exclusives.
And now we have a new vendor to the game this time.
Yeah, we are going to have 2 Amazon exclusives. We'll get to those in time. First off, they're coming out with a vintage Republic gunship. Those things always sell like hotcakes. They've really gone up in price on the secondary market. This one is the first one to come with the turrets.
Or with balls.
Yes, balls.
If you would rather.
Those will be at Toys R Us. Also, Toys R Us is getting an X-Wing in vintage packaging, and it's going to be Biggs X-Wing, hence the super articulated Biggs figure we're getting.
Well, he's got to fit in his X-Wing somehow.
Target is going to be getting a Vader Evolution pack with 4 figures and an operating table. Now, I'm not sure, they didn't say whether those were going to be good articulation figures or bad articulation figures, but it's 4 figures. I'm guessing repacks.
That would be my guess as well. They've already got them. It's easier to throw them in the 4-packs.
Also, Kmart is getting the exclusives for the OT fans. Continuing what happened last year, they're going to be getting a scanning crew pack with a scanning crew member and the big box, and this completes the set. I guess Daryl's been trying to get this set out for years. Kmart is finally going to be the home for them. And also at Kmart, another Return of the Jedi exclusive, 2 more Ewoks with a catapult. So that'll be very cool. Now, Amazon is going to have 2 vehicle exclusives. Good time for Amazon Prime, perhaps.
Yes.
They're going to have a vintage packaged TIE Interceptor, and then they're going to have the vintage packaged Empire Strikes Back Deco Slave 1.
And that's an interesting avenue for those exclusives, don't you think?
It seems like so much last year was an Amazon exclusive anyway.
Yes.
Why not make it official?
The interesting thing about Amazon is it could be a distribution thing, too, because I know Amazon does a lot of distribution for companies, and this may cure some of the distribution issues.
Don't you notice something here, though?
It's all moving online?
No. There's no Walmart exclusives.
You're right. Not a single Walmart exclusive.
So that I found very interesting.
Maybe they had a fight.
That the number one toy seller in the country is not having any Star Wars exclusives, at least that we know of. Now, they also did talk about their other lines. Angry Birds was apparently a huge success last year, and so they're going to continue that this year.
However, in the showroom, the girl who was manning the Star Wars Angry Birds section of the showroom was bemoaning the fact that no one wanted to talk to her.
That's because we were collectors and they were selling Angry Birds. I think the same thing goes for their 12-inch figures. They were really, really pushing this special 12-inch figure. It's Anakin Skywalker. It has movie phrases, a light-up lightsaber. It lights up blue. You snap the Vader head on him, and then now he says different things and the lightsaber lights up red. Hey, I will grant you it's cool tech. I don't want it.
No, however, I would think that an 8 or 9-year-old would probably really like it. But then again, you go back to the situation where the Mustafar scenes are pretty damn intense for a little kid.
Yeah, well, what they said is that 12-inch figures are really big outside of the States.
It's like that age-old thing. Oh, my band is really big in Belgium.
Global market is becoming more and more important. We're going to talk about that a little later on in this show. But yeah, fighter pods continuing, Angry Birds continuing, these 12-inch figures. figures starting. I don't think any of them are really collector aimed. You can choose to collect them. I know quite a few people who got in on the fighter pods. I know less people who got in on the Angry Birds. Seeing the Angry Birds in person, this is my first time to really see a lot of the Angry Birds. They're cute, they're colorful. I don't need them. I think that with those 10 Star Wars movies coming down the pike,
we have enough.
Puts things in a little bit of perspective that I'll save my Angry Birds money for some Episode 7 toys. But after the presentation on the floor, I did get a chance to interview Mick of the Hasbro brand team for Star Wars. Daryl was very focused on G.I. Joe this time around, and so I had to ask him about the looking at the 6-inch line, what the future holds for the Black Series, and about the Clone Wars line.
We are here on the showroom floor with Mick. And Mick, why don't you tell our listeners what your role is with the Star Wars brand?
Sure. My name is Mick Alino. I'm the Senior Design Director on Star Wars. So basically, I work with a talented group of individuals and help manage the brand from a development process.
Now, the big news this time, of course, released a couple weeks ago, was the Black Series coming out and 6-inch figures. And during your presentation, you talked a lot about how scale was very important, and you were looking at all types of scales. What was it that made the team think not to be limited to the 3¾-inch scale, which has been Star Wars for 30-some years?
Well, we wanted to offer something new and different. 6-inch for us, we see in the Marvel line, there's a great affinity for that scale. We thought that 6-inch would allow us to really dive in and give you and the collectors and the fans great sculpt, great articulation, great looks to the characters, and really try to do something different from what we've done in the past with the 3¾-inch figures.
Why now? There have been lots of talk about the 6-inch figures for a long time, and the standing line from Hasbro has been Star Wars figures will stay 3¾-inch, but now they're 6-inch. What is it that prompted the change?
We just wanted to do something new and different. You know, we have some movies coming up in 2015. We wanted to do something different with vintage and put it under the Black Series. So we just felt that, you know what, let's do something different. Let's test the waters with a new scale. And we just felt like now is the time, and we had an opportunity to do it. And I think the figures look great in what we did.
But there was obviously a radical change of plans, because at Comic-Con, you guys were talking about Droid Factory figures starting in January, going to go to the Droid Factory line. And then we got the press release, Droid Factory canceled, some figures may be coming out in fall, and then this. So what happened behind the scenes that really changed the course so dramatically?
Really can't talk about what happened behind the scenes, but what I can say is I'm very confident and excited about the figures that we put out and the offering that we put out.
What would you have to say to collectors who kind of feel like it's a starting over, where they've been invested in 3¾-inch for so long and seen such a depth of characters, to kind of be going back to square one with a new scale and a new selection, starting over with the mainstay characters again?
Well, I think with 3¾-inch figure collectors, we're not going away from 3¾-inch. We still have the 3¾-inch figures out there. But what we are offering is a selected characters, a character select for 6-inch that I think broadens not just a Star Wars fan, but also a 6-inch collector that we've also heard from Marvel and from some other 6-inch fans that they would love to see a Star Wars 6-inch figure. So really kind of encompassing all that. 3¾-inch will still live in Star Wars. We'll still do all those great characters, but we're just introducing the 6-inch line.
Now, with the 3¾-inch line, the Black Series, how many Black Series 3¾-inch figures are planned for 2013?
You know, I don't have that number off the top of my head.
Ballpark it?
I can't.
Less than 20?
I don't remember the total number. I'm sorry.
How does the number of 3¾-inch vintage style figures for the next year compare with previous years? Is it greater than, less than, or approximately equal to?
Again, I can't answer that. good way of answering asking the question multiple ways there.
A lot of the people who listen to our show have expressed fear. You've said 3¾-inch is not going away. Can you say that for the foreseeable future it's not going away, or it's just not going away in 2013? Because their fear is that the shift will move to the 6-inch scale and three and three quarter inch scale is the heart of the collecting.
What I can say right now is that plans are to continue 3 3/4 inch. You know, what will happen in 2015, 2016 in the future, I can't project that far. But for the near future, 3 3/4 inch has always been and will always be the bread and butter of Star Wars. So we will continue with 3 3/4 inch figures, and 6 inch is in addition to that line.
With both series of black lines, the 3 3/4 inch and the 6 inch, how deep are you thinking of going in the character selection? I know the first announced figures for the 6-inch scale are obviously going to be core figures, but you mentioned Marvel Legends as a comparative. And one thing Marvel Legends has always done is mix core figures with the more obscure, the Build-A-Hit Monkey as example. So are there thoughts about including perhaps one or two more obscure figures in some waves along with the core characters?
So what we're going to do with 6-inch, we're going to start off with the core characters, and where we end up with black, you know, it's up to it's anyone's guess, but we're going to stick with the core characters to start off with, and you know, and make sure that those characters are meaningful and that we can capture those scene-specific characters in the series.
What about in the 3 3/4 inch line?
In terms of...
Are you sticking primarily to movie figures, or are you looking at being about as diverse as it has been in previous years, where there's some core characters, some obscure characters, some EU?
I think there's going to be some diversity in 3 3/4 inch.
I got a Thursday
now. Now, with the Saga Legends line, there was no mention of Clone Wars line. So is that line on hiatus?
There is a Captain Rex in there, I believe. So we're doing it in the new style. So Clone Wars will live in that style, but not in the animated style.
And do you have any idea of the number of figures in the Saga Legends line this year?
That I don't.
Yes.
When will the 3 3/4 inch Black Series hit pegs, approximately?
You know, that's a marketing question, and I don't. I'm trying to think. I don't want to give you the wrong information, so I'd rather not answer that one. I apologize.
But are they going to go about the same time as the 6-inch? Or
do you... Right about the same time, yes.
That alone brings me back.
All right, well, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate your answers. I apologize if some of the questions.
But no, it's all good. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks to Mick. Even though Daryl was focused on Joe, I did get a chance to talk to him after the fact, though. And while I appreciate Mick being a good sport about my questions about the number of figures per year, Daryl was able to confirm they currently are slating 19 3 3/4 inch figures this year.
19?
Yeah.
That's pretty low.
That's in the Black Series. That's not counting.
Okay, I thought you meant everything. I'm like, holy crap.
Well, for those who are watching the business end of things, and Jedi News is the only site I know that did a real good write-up of this. Hasbro had a call last Friday with their investors, and they talked across the board about how they need to make Hasbro more profitable. And one of the ways they're doing this is reducing their number of items, just making less things and selling more of the fewer things they make.
Well, in the past years, Hasbro has become very cookie cutter, where they will try something out on one brand and then incorporate into the other brands, like the Mighty Mugs and the cross Transformers with other things. It's very, everything was cookie cutter and they were very diversified.
Right. Well, now they're just going to be making less. That is their whole corporate strategy, is make less.
That might work out for them.
If you think about it, it makes sense from a Star Wars collecting point of view that the number of figures they've been releasing per year is crazy. When you look at how many figures were released from 78 to 85, Hasbro was putting out per year more figures than were released in the entire vintage line.
Those were the heady days.
But what Daryl did say is because of that item reduction, collector-oriented figures are hit the hardest. They will be not launching a foray for EU figures anytime soon. They're focusing on movie figures.
That's probably smart for the money.
Now, I did ask, though, what about sub-figures? Because one of the conversations we've been having on the forums and I've had in person with people is, what about Stormtrooper Bob?
What about Klieg Lars? You know, what about these very specific fraction of a screen time character? How many more Vaders, Lukes, Hans, and Leias do we need when we need Stormtrooper Bob? And what Daryl said is that despite the reduction, those types of deep characters are needed, as the term he used was flavor crystals for the Star Wars line.
Is it Folgers? What has flavor crystals? Is that gum?
I'm curious what the retzen of the Star Wars line is. But Klieg Lars, or figures like him, Mara Jade, who we know we're getting, are the flavor crystals of the line, and the Star Wars brand team is fiercely watching over them to make sure that there are still those types of characters mixed in, but there will be less of them.
That's very interesting.
So things that are strictly collector-oriented in the 3 3/4-inch line, less, but then there's going to be less overall.
Well, but they get burned on those so many times. Everyone screams and yells for Yarna, and how many years has it been and we can still go get one first day of issue?
Okay, but you have to look at the alternate. There are the Wilrow Hoods of the line, but what about the Solo Kids? Did you ever see the Solo Kids on pegs?
No.
And that has a history. I never saw the first EU wave that they did back in the 90s on pegs. It was the first wave of figures in mass that I had to order on eBay. And something else that was said on the investors call was that at the end of 2010 and 2011, Hasbro had way too much merchandise sitting in the stock rooms of the stores. This was Hasbro as a company. They were asked about that on the investor call, and they said at the end of 2012, they had less. They were working to correct this. They want to sell through. They don't want Walmart sitting on cases of toys. What Daryl revealed, though, is that yes, Hasbro as a company was better on this in 2012, but Star Wars as a brand was worse.
Really?
Yeah. Stores are sitting in their distribution centers on cases and cases of figures.
But yet they never put them on clearance.
No, that's part stores, part distribution. But what happened with this all goes back to the Phantom Menace.
It all goes back to the Phantom Menace every single time.
I've read analyses online that say the Phantom Menace in 3D was profitable. It cost very little to convert. Marketing is expensive, but when you look at total worldwide grosses, the Phantom Menace made money. Daryl kind of cocked one eyebrow and said, if it made money, it squeaked by.
Ooh.
What he also said is that Lucasfilm was talking it up. The phrase he used was Lucasfilm teed up the ball, saying, we're giving this a big push. It's the Phantom Menace. It's back in theaters. Now, they'd been burned on the Phantom Menace once before in 1999. And Daryl didn't give exact numbers, but he kind of used a hypothetical. He said, well, because it's a movie, we probably will see a greater sell-through of figures than we would see normally. So let's say we made about 15% more Phantom Menace figures for the vintage line. Just thinking that those figures would sell through because we're going to have people coming back to collecting. We're going to have people coming back to Star Wars. The Phantom Menace figures sold the exact same as the wave of vintage before it.
Oh.
There was no uptick in sales for figures due to the Phantom Menace being released in theaters.
Ouch.
Now you look at this, and this was Daryl's thing being pointed out. This is not Arnie's insight. This is Daryl's. Disney buys Star Wars. Star Wars The Phantom Menace came out in theaters, and outside of the devout, no one cared. It barely made any money. It hurt the licensees. It was a blemish. You're trying to reinvigorate the brand and build excitement for new movies. What happens if you release two more of those 3D movies and they also don't do well? What does that do to the brand? What does that do to tamper the excitement for the new films coming down the pike? And the 3D conversions, those were George's baby. They were not a Lucasfilm initiative. They were George saying, you will convert them to 3D and you will release them episode 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But George isn't in charge anymore. He sold the company and Disney is being protective of the asset.
That kind of makes sense. And sometimes I think as collectors, we don't view it from a business side.
The other thing Daryl said that was very interesting is the problem in sales is strictly American. We've seen toys up in Canada, like the Endor AT-AT, which was supposed to be at Toys R Us here in the States last year, and we still haven't seen it, and the Mandalorian attack transport. Well, apparently in Germany, they can't get enough figures. They're selling through instantly.
Wow.
Their problem is they just can't get enough of the figures. I actually asked, well, can we take some sitting in the distribution centers in Walmart and send them to the Germans? Help both people out? But it is America where the stores are just sitting on them. And if people happen to buy figures at their stores, it's a first in, first out scenario. So the oldest figures are going to ship from the distribution center. So if your store happens to sell figures, then they're just going to get more old figures, which is what's happening at My Toys R Us right now.
We're in a vicious cycle.
So to fix this, with the Black Series, they're going to do smaller waves, less figures per wave, distribute over time. They still want to sell 3 million Super Battle Droids of a certain mold, but they're going to just do that over the course of a couple years instead of trying to do it over the course of a couple of months. And Daryl said that Star Wars has been a shifting target with sales going down as collectors drop out of the market. So they're adjusting. They are adjusting to a business scenario. His exact words on the Phantom Menace figures not selling any better than regular, his exact phrase, it killed us.
Oh, man.
As for the Endor AT-AT, I did ask about that. Daryl said it will come out someday.
Someday.
He had no idea when, but it will come out. For those who really want it, you might have to make a deal with a Canadian. They're usually very polite to deal with. I highly suggest it. But for now, we are just in a, I guess you'd call it a rebuilding season if you were a sports fan. And it looks like they're trying to appease everyone. I asked the same question 8 ways to Sunday of Mick, of Daryl. Is 3¾-inch going away for collectors? Nobody seemed to think that. If 6-inch sells gangbusters and 3¾-inch continues to be the downward shifting target that Daryl described, I imagine they'll reevaluate. Because you can tell, I couldn't get anything out of Mick, but you can tell that something really went down at Hasbro. Because Mike at Galactic Hunter pointed out, 40% of the things they were talking about at Celebration at San Diego Comic-Con will never be seen.
Yeah, that's true.
The Droid Factory figures, some of the light-up movie heroes figures, dead in the water. For those of you waiting for video game figures, EU figures, comic-based figures, or even Clone Wars figures, it looks like those are going to be few and far between to non-existent.
Well, that kind of just puts a damper on everything when you put it like that.
But on the plus side, that Jedi Force Jabba's palace with Jabba the Hutt, that's a damn cute Jabba.
Oh, it is. His eyes are adorable. He's got like kitty cat eyes.
I am so buying that set. It will be my first foray into the Jedi Force line. It is the first Jedi Force figure to come anywhere close to the cuteness of a Galactic Hero.
It is, yeah. But didn't they release a Galactic Hero that looked exactly the same?
Looked somewhat similar.
Yeah, with the kitty cat eyes and we swooned over him?
Yes.
Okay. So it could be the same one.
No, it's bigger.
Okay, that's what they all say.
And it's articulated.
That's what they all say.
A personal note, you say that it sounds a little bad when I say it like that. I'm kind of taking a zen attitude. Again, like I said, we've got new movies coming. Star Wars is going to explode all over the stores again. But right now, I think it's a good time to figure it out. And 19 figures at $13 a piece.
That's doable, though.
It is. It becomes a very affordable year. I called it a rebuilding year for Hasbro. It's also a rebuilding year for my finances.
It is. You're right.
It is going to save a lot of money. Not that I don't want the figures, but that I do think Hasbro has been releasing an excessive amount for an excessive length of time, especially with the repacks and the minor deco repaints. I would rather, and I've said this on the show before, have less product and have it be higher quality. I think the Black Series is giving us that. As for the Saga Legends line, that's going to be a very individual choice. I do think that the hard copies they showed had good deco and good sculpts.
I know, it'll be interesting to see if that continues, because I noticed they're doing it in their other lines as well.
I think I will be getting them to stay carded. They're not very poseable. There's not a whole lot of point in opening them, but they look good on a card.
I guess you can make an unarticulated diorama.
It's basically like how you display your vintage figures. You don't really set up vintage figures in dioramas. You put them in display cases. And that's where I think for collectors these would go. These are good probably for carded collectors who, if you're a carded collector, does it matter if it has 0 points of articulation if you're not taking it off the card?
No, not at all.
For loose collectors, it's a lot of figures that you could find articulated in previous lines if you go to eBay.
Yeah, I just don't think, unless you're a completist, that you would need to pick this up.
So that is our first Toy Fair show. If you want more Toy Fair coverage, check out Marvelicious Toys at MarveliciousToys.com, where Marjorie, Justin, and I talk Marvel collectibles, and we have a lot to say about what Hasbro had to show for their Marvel line today as well.
You can find that at MarveliciousToys.com.
Now, we will be back later this week. We did record the Hasbro brand presentation, so we're going to get that enhanced and deliver that to you. And then we'll be back a few days after that with our coverage from the rest of Toy Fair. We're going to be talking to Kotobukiya, Uncle Milton, Diamond Select, so many more scheduled to appear, guests subject to change, especially with the blizzard in New York.
Yeah, but it's over.
It's over. Let's hope everybody made it. So thank you for listening.
We'll see you later.
Thank you for listening to Star Wars Action News. We hope you've enjoyed the show. We want your feedback and suggestions for Star Wars Action News. You can email us at show@swactionnews.com or post your thoughts in the Star Wars Action News forums at swactionnews.com, the most friendly forums on the web. You can also find Star Wars Action News on Facebook and Twitter. The links to our social media sites are at swactionnews.com. You can be on Star Wars Action News by calling our voicemail at 415-508-JEDI or sending an MP3 or iPhone voice memo to show@swactionnews.com. All materials submitted become the property of Star Wars Action News and are subject to use on our show. You can find even more Star Wars coverage at our sister podcast, Republic Forces Radio Network, where we review each episode of the Clone Wars cartoon series. You can find that podcast at republicforces.com. If you're into Star Wars novels, check out the Star Wars Action News Book Club, where we read and review all the Star Wars novels. That podcast is at swactionnews.com. For more Star Wars collecting, please check out GalacticHunter.com, JediDefender.com, JediTempleArchives.com, and YakFace.com. And we thank those sites for their support of Star Wars Action News. You can help support Star Wars Action News by making a donation using the Donate button at SWActionNews.com or by using affiliate links on the Star Wars Action News homepage when shopping online. Your support helps keep Star Wars Action News on the air. We also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Star Wars Action News. If you enjoyed the show, please post about Star Wars Action News on Facebook, Twitter, or your social media network of choice, or just tell a friend about the show. We would also greatly appreciate a 5-star review written on iTunes. A link to our iTunes page is at swactionnews.com. Star Wars Action News is created, produced, edited, and hosted by Marjorie and Arnie. The Star Wars Action News team is segment reporters Jerry, Brock, Jonathan, Nathan, and Steve, graphic design by Chris, image editing by Jay, podcast enhancement by Andrew and Barrett, associate produced and podcast announcements by Brock. Star Wars Action News is not affiliated with Lucasfilm Limited. The show is created by Star Wars fans showing their love of Star Wars. Star Wars and all that the Star Wars universe contains is trademark and copyright Lucasfilm Limited, a subsidiary of the Walt Disney Company. All rights reserved. Until next time, may the pegs be stocked and the Force be with you. Star Wars Action News is a Venganza Media production, copyright 2013, all rights reserved, and no part of this show may be reproduced, repurposed, or redistributed without the written permission of Venganza Media Incorporated. Star Wars Action News. Now this is podcasting.
First foray into the Epic Force series. It is the first Epic Force figure to come close. It is the first Jedi Force figure. The one other thing I asked Daryl was about the sail barge. Many of our listeners may remember the Bring On the Barge petition, spearheaded by a number of collecting sites. It didn't get the requisite signatures. Daryl did talk about this, and his response was, the sail barge is on its way to nowhere. That's a direct quote with inflection.
Oh, what a tease. That's hilarious.
If you want more Toy Fair coverage, check out our sister podcast, Marvelicious Toys, at marvelicioustoys.com, where Marjorie, Arnie, and I am Arnie.